This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. For the past 2 years, the U.S. government has been sending billions of pandemic relief dollars to child care providers across the country. Now those disbursements are set to expire. Today, we're going to talk about what this money has meant to child care providers and families and what it will mean for them when those funds disappear. We'll also discuss new efforts in Congress to shore up that funding. Joining me now to do just that are United States Representative for Ohio's 1st District, Greg Landsman. Thanks for being here, Congressman Landsman.
Thanks for having me.
Groundwork Ohio Managing Director of Communications, Becca Thomas. Welcome, Becca.
Thanks for having us.
And Learn and Grow Vice President for Advocacy, Mike Hammonds. Thanks for being here, Mike.
Thank you, Lucy.
Are you facing a child care cliff? You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. Congressman Landsman, as I mentioned, Congress had sent billions of dollars and spent billions of dollars in stimulus money during the pandemic to help child care providers. What was the rationale behind that investment?
So the rationale behind the investment across the board as it relates to the American Recovery Act, and if you remember, this was as we were working through and trying to come out of a recession, I mean, a serious recession because of the pandemic. The American Recovery Act was significant in helping us, when I was at City Hall, maintain core services. We had furloughed, I think, about 1,000 employees. We were able to use the American Recovery money to bring those folks back and maintain all the sanitation services, police, fire, and the school districts used the dollars to open classrooms and get our schools back up and running. Businesses used some of those resources to get back on their feet. And then there was support for these child care providers to keep classrooms open or reopen classrooms so that folks could get back to work. And it worked. It made a huge difference. And we recovered. I believe the United States recovered faster, better than any other country in the world. And a lot of that has to do with these investments, including the child care investment.
Mike, what impact did that money have on the child care industry?
Well, it stabilized us. I mean, we've had a financial model that frankly has been pretty shaky for a long time, but it did stabilize us and allow child care providers to stay open and frankly increase wages, because the whole economy is under significant wage pressure, and that was affecting child care workers more than many other sectors. We're competing with DHL and Amazon and any number of other businesses for workers. So we use those stabilization dollars from the federal stimulus to increase wages by and large, or benefits or tuition assistance. We in Kentucky, we were able to use those dollars to also provide free child care for teachers working in child care. And all of that helped, but it's the fact that it's temporary has put us in a situation where we're frankly facing a collapse if those dollars don't continue.
The Century Foundation estimates 70,000 child care providers, or roughly one in three across the country, could close as that funding expires. Mike, what impact are you expecting in the tri-state? I understand you've been surveying providers.
We did survey them, and last survey, we call a fragile ecosystem survey. 72% of Kentucky providers said that they would have to raise rates. 40% said that they would cut wages. Now, if they cut wages, they're going to lose staff. So if they cut, they lose staff, they're going to lose enrollment, and they're going to be less accessible for working families that need child care. Child care is the business on which America's business is based. If you don't have dependable, affordable child care in place, parents, working parents, aren't going to be able to work. In addition, our survey would show that about 27% of childcare providers are planning layoffs when those funds are lost, and 23% are expecting to close programs. So that's a little bit better than it is across the country. I mean, there are some projections that as many as 40% of the available childcare slots would be lost when these funds are diminished.
And Mike, is your surveying been focused on Kentucky, or have you been looking at Ohio too?
This survey that I'm referring to is just Kentucky. But as I mentioned, except for the couple of differences, it pretty closely resembles what we are hearing about in Ohio and other states.
Becca, what could that mean for the economy as a whole? I mean, Mike just talked about childcare as the business that other businesses really rely on.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the Century Fund numbers earlier, Lucy, and we've seen from them that in Ohio alone, it's over 130,000 kids that could set to lose care when this expiration happens. That's over 2,000 centers across Ohio that could close. And like you said, that's a real economic challenge. I mean, that means parents and predominantly women are dropping out of the workforce to care for their children. And we conducted a poll actually earlier this year and found already 4 in 10 Ohio working parents have cut back on their work hours to care for their children. And that really turns out to about 800,000 workers in Ohio. So, you know, we have a tremendous amount of industry and opportunity here, and we're not supporting the workforce that is, like Mike said, the backbone behind the workforce that's enabling Ohio parents to get to work.
We also found, I didn't mention it, but we also that lack of childcare is the number one reason why adults of working age are not in the workforce. So,
huge barrier for people. Becca, Mike mentioned that, you know, some child care centers could be forced to raise prices. And I imagine with fewer child care options, that could result in higher prices for those that remain. What would that mean for families, Becca?
You know, I think it really could be devastating. We engage dozens of families in our Family Action Network to come to Columbus, to come to the State House and testify on behalf of their challenges and what they're seeing. And one mom alluded to the fact that the lack of affordable and quality childcare keeps her family in a cycle of poverty. Her husband works a low-wage job and isn't able to take on more hours or even accept even a dollar or two raise because they would lose their benefits for subsidized childcare. She's not able to get out of the house and take even a part-time job because, again, it would push them over the limit where they would not be able to afford childcare. So it's a real barrier to lifting up the future of our state, to lifting the workforce currently who wants to be engaged and provide for their family to really be able to succeed.
Congressman, I want to bring you back into the conversation, too. We've been talking about these economic impacts, these financial impacts, but there are serious educational impacts for kids in quality child care centers, too. You led the charge on Preschool Promise here. Talk about what do you have concerns about what this could mean for young children and their educations?
Sure. It's a huge issue. Most of brain development happens in the first 5 years of a child's life. So what happens early on makes all the difference in the world. And for some kids, they get all of the things they need, from what's happening at home to a really healthy, stimulating environment, whether it's childcare or preschool. And there's a ton of learning, academic, but social emotional learning that happens in childcare, quality childcare, that makes a huge difference in terms of brain development. And then, you know, children who have access to these things enter kindergarten. There's an assessment when you get to kindergarten, and that assessment determines whether or not a young person is ready. Socially, emotionally, academically. And if they aren't, there are additional supports. And sometimes those additional supports help out, but it's expensive. And sometimes it's too late to really get a child back to their God-given potential. And so investing early makes a huge difference for young people. It also saves us a lot of money in the long run because we're doing a lot less remediation. If every child had access to high quality childcare and preschool, they would be showing up prepared. Our schools would be, you know, the best in the world in terms of academic achievement across the board. And we would save a lot of money. I do want to echo the importance, though, of the impact on the economy. And the fact of the matter is that one of the biggest issues our businesses are facing has to do with the workforce. When you ask workers what the number one issue they're facing, it's typically childcare. Some families can pay for childcare, but most can't. Some businesses can pay for childcare, but most can't. And so these are really, really smart, critical investments. And when they go away, it hurts everybody.
We're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. And later in the program, we'll talk about a one-of-a-kind performance coming up later this month at Music Hall. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about the child care cliff millions of families across the country are facing, the impact it could have on the tri-state, and efforts in Washington, D.C. to shore up support. My guests are United States Representative for Ohio's 1st District, Greg Landsman, Groundwork Ohio Managing Director of Communications, Becca Thomas, and Learning Grove Vice President for Advocacy, Mike Hammonds. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. Mike, explain some of the reasons running a child care center is so expensive. I mean, people are dealing with staffing, wages, insurance, rent. Talk about how difficult and expensive it is to keep a child care center going.
Well, the main thing is staffing. And especially if you want to operate a quality center, and all of our centers are five-star, you want to make sure you have enough teachers in the classroom to serve all the children and serve them well. It's a safety issue, but it's also an important ingredient to maximizing that learning opportunity for children. So staffing is the most important thing. And we really require a lot of our teachers. They not only have to be dedicated dedicated to serving children and nurturing, but we expect them to know a lot about that development that Congressman Landsman referred to earlier, and to apply what we know about child development to the instruction. You know, we all use play-based instruction where kids learn best and they're most creative and they're growing and their brains are growing most fertile. In this play kind of atmosphere, but all of that's pretty well staged and based on science. So we expect a lot of our teachers, but we have traditionally not paid in the industry, not paid what it takes. Now, I will say with COVID, there was a realization that we had to pay more in order to compete with the other industries that were increasing wages, and we've done that. And that's really the crux of what our the financial crisis is all about. Insurance and rent and other costs of doing business, those of all, they're a lot more stable. But this extraordinary wage pressure that's occurring in the economy, and it's occurring with us especially. So I think we owe America owes a lot to the teachers, especially women and many women of color who have sacrificed their own lives and their own families, their own livelihood to care for others' children. And I don't think that's, you know, I think we need to compensate them, and we're gonna have to compensate them to keep them in the classroom working with children.
Becca, does this need for this federal funding show how broken this system is and has been? I mean, Mike talked earlier about how tenuous things had been for a long time. Does this kind of shine a spotlight on that?
I think absolutely. You know, I think we've seen the childcare industry has been in crisis for some time since the pandemic. Even in Ohio, we're serving 30,000 fewer children than we're able to just because of these workforce challenges. And, you know, with this, the funding, further being depleted, it's going to create that much larger of a gap between other low-wage professions like Amazon, like DHL, like all these large manufacturers that can come in and pay a lot higher wage than these critical early childcare workers. I mean, like the congressman said, the most critical time for brain development is the period of 0 to 5, and we're not investing in the workforce that's getting our children to be ready to enter kindergarten, ready to succeed in their future.
We do have a caller on the line. Alana, thank you so much for your call. What is your question or comment?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. It's a very important issue. When I was raising my kids, I had to work, and it was horrible trying to work around my husband's schedule and trying to get be able to work and have somebody take care of the kids. So I want to ask Representative Lantzman, are you working on a bill right now? Is your staff working, writing a bill to ensure that this will be permanent, child care could be permanent? The other two questions are you working across the aisle with other people, and who is working with you on this?
Thank you, Alana. That brings us to where we were going to go next. Go ahead, Congressman Lantzman.
Yeah, thank you, Alana. A really important question. So we announced today a bill, the Child Care Stabilization Act, that would extend this funding year in and year out, $16 billion a year. It would make a big difference. I will tell you, I do not believe that is sufficient in terms of all of our childcare needs, but it would be a major boost in terms of dealing with this really horrific cliff, childcare cliff, that the economy and families, businesses are about to deal with. And it's going to be really problematic if we don't pass this. As you know, we are working to pass the budget and trying to get bipartisan support for that. I'm part of a bipartisan group that's really at the center of trying to get the budget passed and ensure that there's no unnecessary, costly, really problematic shutdown. So that's the first order of business. But yes, we are working on that bill, and we're working on other bills too, reauthorizing Head Start and early Head Start, which would help. But ultimately, I believe that we've got to fix the tax code and get everybody paying all their taxes, particularly this super rich. I mean, they're now over 1,000 billionaires in the United States, and they've done really well for themselves, which is great. You know, a lot of them have figured out ways not to pay all their taxes. And as a result, we don't have the money that we need to make these investments. If you think about a $16 billion investment, it sounds significant when you realize that those billionaires in the United States generate about $2 billion a day, just that group. It's nothing. So I really do believe that we've got to fix the economy and get our priorities straight and invest in the American economy and American workers. And this is a big piece of that.
Yeah. Thanks for that important question, Alana. So this Child Care Stabilization Act, do you have any sense for whether there is bipartisan support for that, Congressman Lantzman?
Yeah, I think there will be if there's a quote unquote pay for, which, you know, so that is, you know, how do you pay for it? And if the associated tax, whether you're closing a loophole or something else, is workable for Republicans, I do believe that it will have bipartisan support. The issue of childcare, I am feeling as if it's growing in terms of its bipartisan appeal. And more Republicans are appreciating how important it is for children. And more Democrats are appreciating how important it is for businesses. I mean, it really is at the core of whether or not we're going to have a really sustainable, robust economy. Because it is at the heart of why we have such serious workforce issues, and in to unlock the potential, the enormous potential of the American economy, we have to make this investment.
Mike, we just, go ahead.
It's also a popular issue with the voters. There's bipartisan support, and it's pretty significant support. It's in the 80-90% among Democrats, Republicans, and independents that for increasing investment in early childhood and in childcare. I think, you know, we've already set the precedent of supporting American business and the economy in any number of ways, most recently with the investments in technology and chip manufacturing. And we also do it with the extraordinary incentives to bring companies into our communities. I think that we can build on that precedent, that public support, and the precedent that we've had in Congress, as the congressman mentioned, especially in the United States Senate. There have been efforts on both sides of the aisle to expand access to childcare and to provide more funding to stabilize it so it's available not only to support the system that's currently in place, but frankly, make it available to more working families. And I think I was thrilled when Congressman Lanzman won, and I thought, we'll have an insider now who can walk over to the other side and find out what's it going to take for them to accept parts of the proposal that the Democrats are proposing, and vice versa. It's been a little bit frustrating to see some really healthy dialogue in Congress and some significant proposals to expand access to childcare and increase funding, but they don't go to the point of getting done. Now, you know, we see from time to time these breakthroughs where we get past the separate sides, but both sides having their own proposal. And I'm confident that Congressman Lanzman's going to be one of those members who can bridge this divide and get this done.
Thanks, Mike.
Becca, we've heard about this proposal that's being worked on in Congress. I'm sure that everyone on, you know, you all are hopeful that something can get passed. If it doesn't, which child care centers are most at risk? I'm wondering if centers that serve low-income families that rely on government help, are they the most at risk in all this, Becca?
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be the publicly funded child care centers and the children who are from low-income families the most at risk to lose their childcare and to further push their families into poverty. And I think we're thrilled with this proposal for the $16 billion. We'll do what we can to mobilize kind of our network. We have been a nonpartisan public policy organization for nearly two decades. And so we're working on building a movement both statewide and nationally to engage families, you know, the people who depend on this childcare every day in and day out. So we'll encourage, you know, all of our network to reach out to their federal policymakers and demand that childcare be made a priority.
Congressman Lanzman, we've talked about the Century Foundation a couple times. That their study estimated 20,000 child care centers, 1 in 10 nationwide, closed permanently in the first 2 years of the pandemic. This whole system is clearly strained. What's your biggest fear if this federal money doesn't come?
Well, it will hurt children. We know that it helps children being in a quality child care facility. And so we know that children will be hurt. And because these years are so important in terms of growth and brain development, it will have a lasting impact. It's awful. And it will hurt these childcare providers. And as Mike mentioned, a lot of them are small businesses themselves. They're run by Black women, certainly in our district, a lot of them. They've been caring for children their entire careers. They will be hurt financially. They may have to shutter their doors. It will hurt businesses who are already struggling to find workers and make sure that those workers have what they need to, you know, come to work every day. So it will help hurt our businesses. And so it will be a huge drag on our economy. And the economic growth that we're seeing will inevitably slow down. Mm-hmm. And it's so unnecessary because we do have a country that supports this. This is a hugely popular issue.
We will have to leave it there. I've been talking with United States Representative for Ohio's 1st District, Greg Landsman, Groundwork Ohio Managing Director of Communications, Becca Thomas, and Learning Grove Vice President for Advocacy, Mike Hammonds. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Up next, we'll hear about a one-of-a-kind performance by the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. This is Cincinnati Edition.